I will not be offended if anybody falls asleep. It's after lunch, and I am boring. But sometimes it's a hard place to start, but I always have a hard time starting and beginning, because beginning takes me before I was born. But I think that's part of my testimony, is God working in people from generation to generation to generation. I'll give you some boring details. I'm a fourth generation in this town. Father born here, grandfather born here, and great-grandfather came here. But about in 1947, which was way before I was born, there was a traveling preacher. I don't know if he was called here or somebody came. He asked him to come. But he was from, I believe, Moody. And he held revival services in the city hall in town here. And there's two ladies that attended that meeting. One was a mother and the other was a daughter-in-law. And one of them's name was Ruth. But the other name was Lily, which are my grandmother and mother. My grandmother was old English. She came to this country when she was pretty small. And I have very fond memories of her. And there's probably very few people in this town that even remember her. I can remember sitting next to her when I was 5, 6 years old and listening to her sing off key, high, low, wherever she was. I can just envision myself sitting next to her, looking up at her. And those are some very fond memories I have. But she attended these revival meetings. She had been raised without much of any religion or anything, came to this country. And for a while she sat under the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses for I don't know how many years. And so then Seventh-day Adventism she sat under for a number of years. But just didn't fulfill it. Then these revival meetings she attended with my mother. She and my mother got saved, which would have put my grandma at about what age? Probably in her mid-50s, which for somebody to get converted is getting kind of old. Because, you know, by that time, sin does establish its strongholds on our heart. Anyway, she was blessedly saved with my mother. And one of her first regrets was, by the time she got saved, her three boys were out on their own and doing their own thing. And that's something she lamented, I believe, until the day she died. For she never did see the salvation of any of her children, for there may only have been one. But that's what I was born into. I grew up in a local Baptist church in town here. My mom faithfully took us as much as she could. She didn't drive, so that meant she had to find a ride, or if Dad was in a good mood, he would take us. And I grew up going, not just to church every Sunday, but Wednesdays too, we're there. Mom went to prayer meetings, people pick us up. But also, though, since Dad chose to do what he wanted to do, and God was of little value to him. I got to go with him when he watched me or when he wanted to be happy around. But that meant I sat with him in bars and taverns for hours on end, sitting there. I can remember even being really short and just could see over the edge of a pool table. And I have memories of things like that, too. And growing up is always interesting. I've shared this numerous times. I grew up with the idea that if you were a Christian, you were a Republican, and if you were unsaved, you were a Democrat. Because that's the way it was in my household. And I can always remember along election times, Dad rejoicing when Democrats were in control and a bear when they weren't. And I grew up in that. Mom faithfully took us as much as possible, went to Sunday school, went to boys' club, learned scripture after scripture after scripture. But there's one thing I didn't learn, or Mom didn't know, or was taught at all, of evil communications corrupt good manners. Nothing, I had any good manners. But grew up in a neighborhood, and there's always a lot of kids, and that's where I got most of my education, besides the World Book Encyclopedia. And that's the way it went, year after year. There's always conflict. I had older brothers and an older sister, and a younger sister too, but I can remember when my oldest brother, or my second oldest brother, wanted to go to Bible school. And Dad heard about it and talk about an uproar. I mean, it was so bad that he threatened to kill himself if he went to Bible school, which never happened. My brother did go to Bible school, but my dad didn't kill himself. But that's how I was raised, in that type of atmosphere. So, and the natural inklings of our heart makes a natural propensity to follow after evil. And that's what I so chose. Even though I continue to go to Sunday school, grew up through the church, I can look back and say I did all I was supposed to do at church. I was baptized, went to camp. Dad would have been kind of proud because didn't cost him any money for me to go to camp. Because the church sponsored, if you memorize so many verses, they would send you for a free week. So I did that a few years. Might have been between the ages of 8 and 12, a couple of different professions. Because camp was really enjoyable. It was a Christian camp, actually still functioning, north of town here. And heard the gospel preached continually since I was a little kid. But the world, the flesh, and the devil were just too much, and I just enjoyed myself. I can remember when I got to about the age of 18, just going to get out of high school the following spring. Now, I have this one-letter word that would come up, and I think they probably should take out of dictionaries, which is the word I. Came very important in my life. I get to do what I want to do. I get to go where I want to go. I get to go see things I want to see. And I get to do things what I want to do. and I did such. And I can remember one of the saddest moments in my life, probably. I was probably around 19. As I experienced the world in all its glory, I come home and I think Mom and Dad were still up. I kind of staggered by them and went to bed. The thing is, my room was right next to their room. And I can remember laying awake and hear my dad almost laughing in my mother's face and saying, rejoicing that I came home drunk, actually. And you could hear my mom crying. But you would think something like that would wake you up. But we do have hearts that are extremely slow to respond to things. And that's the way it carried on, you know, for a number of years. About in the mid 70s, I met a girl in a bar at some kind of a meeting for CB. Anybody remember what CB radios were? Yeah, they used to have big clubs of those. And everybody had those big antennas whipped around and all that stuff. Anyone have them in their vehicles? And I started dating this lady, girl. Actually, at first thought, I didn't think she was even old enough. But I found out that she was. So we were dating. First met her in January of 76. By October of 76, we were married. And this is one of the first workings of God. It is unreal. At that time, my wife was working at a nursing home, preparing lunches and stuff, and then taking it to the people's rooms and giving it to them. Well, it just so happens my grandfather was in one of those rooms. And it just so happened that then my wife before she met me, I had met my grandfather and noticed that there was something different about him. He had a roommate that would despise and curse him, basically. But my grandfather at that time loved God and had an opportunity in different ways to testify to my wife that I didn't meet yet. We think that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Of God and the things he can do. Anyway, and when you give your testimony, you can always jump around a bit and look back and see. In discussions over the years, my wife and I have had that. I remember she says that those were things that was important to her because she's always wondered about God and felt that emptiness, even though she grew up Catholic. But you know, there was something more than what was there for her. And at some point in our early discussions, I can't remember vividly saying this, but I know I have, that sometime I'll go back to church. And you notice God was not in it, I just said I'll go back to church. And shortly after we got married, besides having our first daughter, My wife was searching, and from the testimony of my grandfather and from my mother, I started attending church with her. And after watching different TV evangelists and that, and the testimony again of my sister and my mom, my grandfather got saved. And I had this mother that was what you call quiet. You would hardly know what offended her or bothered her. She had that spirit, that of a quiet spirit. But someone forgot to tell my wife about that verse. And so after she got saved, we ended up buying a house out in the country. And I continue to do my thing. As I've learned from my dad, I do my part, bring a paycheck home and be around. But I get to do the things I want to do too. And but the thing is, I mentioned this before, my wife was of the same spirit as my mother was. And even though she is now, she doesn't have the same personality that my mother had either. And I don't remember seeing it happen, but I told her it did happen. That I'd come home and put the beer in the refrigerator, and I'd come back the next day, it wouldn't be there. And it just so happened I had a 22-20 over and under. And she'd pick that out and line my stuff up and shoot it and break them all outside. So he was determined that there wasn't going to be any such stuff in the house. And I say to this day, with what little knowledge I have, if my wife would have been as my mother, I would have been as my father. But God is good. There's always, from that point on in time, conflict. I personally knew where I was and what I was doing was not right. I simply chose to do what I wanted to do. And once there was this culminating situation, it was her birthday, and we were supposed to go out to eat with my mother and actually my grandmother too, I believe, if I remember right. But I didn't make it because I was incapacitated somewhere. And that didn't sit very well. And my wife had made some determinations. I'm not sure what those are, but she made some determinations. And shortly thereafter, I was sitting at a union meeting and got done and went outside and left, and there was a couple Mormons sitting outside talking to people. I still were a little ways away and listened and shaking my head side to side. This is a bunch of garbage that they were saying. And that's interesting because even God can use my pride to even awaken myself a bit. I said, this is ridiculous. because I know what they're saying is not true. And after that incident of missing supper or the meal, I actually started to go back, went back to church. And we would go together sometimes, but sometimes, I remember right, she had even worked once in a while on Sunday, if I remember right. And I go by myself. And just from the people that I knew there, that knew me when I was a little kid, they were still there and alive. And, you know, the testimony of just people around me from, again, from my wife and my mom and sister, people praying, which I think was a very important part that I probably didn't know about, that numerous people praying. And I can't remember the period of time. I mean, it could have been upwards to a year after I went back to church, I'm guessing, that I remember I was outside, and I believe it was in the fall of the year. And God had this burden. And this thought that I figured from God, or from whether it was when I was reading the Word of God, the passage in John, thank you. We're together again. We're audible. And I came to this realization after reading that passage and thinking about it. When Christ was coming to John to be baptized, he's talking about, I am not worthy to do it. I'm not worthy to unlatch your shoes. And I know it doesn't apply to salvation. He says, I must decrease and you increase. And I was then outside on the edge of by a potato field. And a number of realizations were brought upon me that it's not my choice when I choose to go back to God. That word I comes up again. And come to the based two realizations as I look back now. There's that short phrase, or what they want to say it is, a truism. It's now or never, so to speak. And that's when I remember being on my knees, looking up, and seeing that moon going by, and knowing what the moon represents as a lesser light, at the sun and being the greater light. I remember that tonight. That even in darkness, the sky was bluer and the moon was brighter and things were greener and bluer. And I gotta let you know, it was from that period of time when I got out of school till that night. This is over 8 years. And there's things that happened during that time that happened that I shouldn't be there. And I would just share that one because to me it simply shows the hand of God and the love of God beyond measure in our, in my undeserving estate. I was working at a pallet factory, but I worked in a back sawmill which cut the lumber for the pallet factory. And they had a system. The wood be cut, it's all cut in 4 foot lengths and get stacked. And I was running what they call the stacker. And to get rid of their byproduct, which were the slabs, was it has a conveyor and it goes to this big chipper. And the throat of that chipper is, I don't know, 16 inches. Capable of taking of a 15 inch hardwood log and probably within 3 seconds chewing up into chips. And it's run like a 300 horse electric motor. So it doesn't really just stop on a dime. And it had a habit once in a while of getting plugged up with slabs. And then you'd have to set the belt off and go stand or lay over the end of this conveyor and take a big stick and hook them and unplug them and stuff like that till all the wood was gone and you could run again. Well, I plugged up and I was walking over toward it, shut the conveyor off. And as I'm walking over there, I'm thinking, well, this is what I normally do. I grab the stick, go over there, you lay on the belt, you lay halfway over it and stick this big piece of wood down there and unplug it. And that was what I was thinking as I was walking over toward it. But I got over there for some strange reason, something I'd never done before. I sat on the end of the conveyor belt with my feet dangling over, unplugging this. And just as I unplugged the last board going through the chipper, the belt comes on. I just told you, I'd normally be laid on that. If I'd been laying on that belt, I would have went down head first. And it's plate steel, not plate steel, it's smooth steel, down into the chute. And it doesn't get, and it's pretty actually wide till it gets right to the knives. But I sat on there for whatever reason, and I can only say it is from God. And as it cleared, the belt come on. It threw me out into this open area, and there's this guy leaning over another part. And as I was thrown out, I turned myself around, and I was able to grab hold of a piece of the edge, and this guy reached over and was able to grab the back of my pants. And it seemed like an eternity. And it was. Because the belt was still going. I had these slabs going over the top of my head that were on the conveyor. (Clears throat) the foreman had walked by, he had been gone, and turned it back on when I had just cleared it. It has nothing to do with the story, but I got chewed out for it. That was my fault. And that I do call a providence of God. Undeserving from God. So that's when I was about 27. I'm almost 65. And I don't know how far to go. I can say theoretically, I always use that word. I could talk for a long time. But those are some of the workings of God in a sinner's life. Undeserving by God for me. I thought about some other things to share, but I also thought about asking people to ask questions. But you wouldn't know what to ask. Because there have been many eventful things in intervening years of mercy of God. But to me, just this little bit, shows God working even before I was born. And tell me you can't be that. So I think I'll stop right there. How's that sound? Okay? I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm done. My wife is finished.